Hi, my name is Morgan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Morgan.
Okay, so said 4, 5, and 6 tonight. But to go back where we started last week, and I talked about my powerlessness and how I came to believe in a power greater than myself, I made that decision to turn over my will and my life. You know, I knew I was powerless over alcohol a long time before I finally made this decision in this 12-step process, you know, attempting to go through it times before. But I never really felt how powerless I really was and how much I needed a higher power. You know, I shared how I was pregnant at this time, and me being pregnant and using for 4.5 months throughout my pregnancy, not knowing, when I found out that I was pregnant, something really set home that that wasn't going to keep me sober. You know, from my experience, from all the things in the past that I had held on to and tried to use to keep me away from picking up that drink again and failed me every time, I truly believe that the fact that I was pregnant wasn't going to be a higher power for me to not pick up the drink again, and that really scared me. You know, if I couldn't stop for that, then what could I really stop for? And I wasn't willing to find out because I didn't want to affect this unborn child that, you know, didn't deserve that at this time. So it was, when I sat down and I looked at my powerlessness, it really hit home on a different level. And thank God for my past experiences and trying to use the job and trying to use the relationship was always my number one higher power. Trying to use that over and over again and failing really helped me come to terms with the fact that this wasn't going to be it for me. I would pick up again if I didn't go through with the rest of this process, honestly, willingly, and thoroughly. So if I was really admitting to myself how powerless I was and I understood the extremeness of this disease and what it would lead to, I had to find a power greater than myself. And God was foreign to me, and it didn't matter. I didn't use a religious guy. I chose to call him God because I didn't know what else to use. But my God just came from love, you know, love and kindness and all that good stuff that there was no motives behind. There was no personal gain. And when I thought back, and there was a few times of love in my life, you know, with my parents, whatever it may be, I could associate God being in that. So that's what I chose to use at that time, and there was a reading that really helped explain that to me, and I just kept it simple, and with that, I moved through the rest of the steps, and I was turning my will and my life over to this thing that I didn't understand, and I didn't trust, and I didn't know, but I believe my sponsor. You know, when she sat there and she told me what she was like and how I could relate and how she definitely wasn't like that anymore, I believed her. And I had seen people in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous recover from this. And for some reason, I didn't think I was so alone anymore. You know, my disease always trying to point out that I was less than or better than, and I didn't belong here. I kind of felt like at this time and moment, I was exactly where I was supposed to be. And that all came with, you know, how I found out I was pregnant, where I was at the time. There was always little instances, I feel like, in my life where God tried to reveal himself to me. And, you know, he was pushing me through and getting me through those hard times. But there was always, I guess after my DWI, after I knew I had a problem with the drink, and at that time in my mind, the drink was the problem, not me. When that was happening, you know, I'd be like, oh, you know, maybe there is a God, and then that was quickly forgotten and not thought of again until another instance happened where something terrible should have happened to me, and it didn't, and then God was, you know, God was alive in my life again for a real quick period of time. So when I got to step 4, you know, I understood, I truly understood 1, 2, and 3 for the first time in my life, and I think that made all the difference because, you know, it's not easy to sit down and look at myself when that's what I've been avoiding for so many years of my life. And to honestly know how powerless I was is what moved me to do this in step 4. If I hadn't had that true inner, like, it was like an inner feeling. It wasn't in my head this time, you know. I wouldn't have been willing to do it. or I wouldn't have done it thoroughly, or I would have been doing it just because my sponsor said to do it. You know, she told me to make a list of all the people I had harmed, and I did that. I made a list. I made a list of all the things they had done to me, and then I listed what it affected, and it seemed to have affected every aspect of my life, in all of them. And then I wrote out what I did to them, and there wasn't, you know, I was really in a fog when I was going through these steps, but there wasn't much emotion that I can tell you about, you know, whether I didn't know or I don't know how to explain it or what the case may be. But when I look back now, there was definitely a lot of emotions, and I was definitely taking it out on everyone around me and suffering a lot. But at the time, I thought I was fine. You know, I couldn't see any of this. And, you know, it was a scary place to be. I was 4.5 months pregnant. No, I was 9 months pregnant. I was 4.5 months sober. And I was in the middle of my fourth step, and the boyfriend that I used as my higher power wasn't exactly doing what I would have liked him to do. And in all other instances, when that had happened, I had ran out and used and run away from that. Kind of like, I don't know if it was you hurt me, I'm going to hurt myself kind of deal, which I think was repeated throughout my life. But that never happened. But he definitely got all my character defects thrown his way in all forms really bad. You know, and I didn't realize how much I was suffering, and I didn't really realize while I was writing out the fourth step what I was actually doing. Just because I had written out what I had done, nothing changed, you know. Nothing, I didn't really want to change so much. A few things maybe were like, okay, I shouldn't be doing that, but that was the extent of it. I didn't have the power to change any of it, and I didn't want to at that time. So then I went on and I wrote out, my sponsor also had me write what I could do differently. And that, I don't know, for some reason or another, looking at what I could have done differently kind of opened my eyes to see where my wrongs were a little more, you know, like it wasn't the only scenario that I had to do, because I always felt I had to do those things to those people to get what I wanted, and if they hadn't done them to me, then I wouldn't do them to them. But seeing that there's another alternative really helped open my eyes to things a little bit. So moving on, I did my sex inventory, you know, and that all came out that I was fear, along with all the resentments in step five, but all the sex was fear of being alone and using people to have a person next to me and using them as my higher power and relying upon them and not being happy the whole time while I did it, but I couldn't not do it. I didn't have the ability not to be with someone if I wanted to or not. And then I made my fear list. And, you know, I always thought I wasn't afraid of anything. And I think it was the fact that I wasn't afraid of dying because I was so miserable that it just made it seem like I thought that was the ultimate fear that everyone had in life. And since I didn't have that, I felt like there was nothing else to be afraid of. But I was afraid of everything, you know, all the opposites. I was afraid of being happy, and I was afraid of being miserable for the rest of my life. So when I saw that, I was like, wow, like, now what? You know, like, I've been miserable my whole life, and I'm saying I don't want to be this way anymore, but then at the same time, I'm afraid of being happy when I never even knew what happy was like. I've never experienced that before yet. I was scared to go out and try it. And I had a lot of other fears, you know, if I had hurt my unborn daughter, financial fears, when I thought money never mattered to me in my whole life, which was completely untrue. But a lot of things were revealed to me in my fourth step, but they were just there. You know, nothing was done about them. So when I got to my fifth step and I had to sit down with my sponsor, who I chose, at first I was like, oh, I'll do my outpatient therapist. You know, like, she kind of, like, lets me slide with a lot of things and agrees with me. But they advise you to do this with someone who's been through the steps, who's awakened, who knows what it was like when we were out there using and has had a spiritual awakening and can see truth and honesty and reveal this stuff to you, because otherwise it's doing you no good. You know, so I sat down with her and I totally trusted her, and I told her something that I would never tell anyone, that I swear I was never going to tell anyone. And that part was a big sigh of relief. You know, it was something I was holding on to, and I thought about it every single day, but I thought it would be a good idea not to share it with that person. But it says in the book that if we don't do this step, if we think it's not a good idea, then maybe we don't understand how severe our disease is, and we may drink again. You know, this was one of the most freeing steps for me, and I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't have any white light experience. I didn't feel lighter after, but in the process of it, you know, in the process of telling her everything, the way she responded back to me out of love, and maybe perhaps you could have been a little selfish here because I guess I finally heard it. You know, people have told me these things my whole life because I've been doing these things my whole life. And I wasn't hearing it. It didn't matter, you know. If you've been what I've been through, you would do them too. And it's not that I really wanted to hurt these people, you know. If I robbed you, I didn't want to take your money. I just needed it more than you did, kind of deal. You know, there was always something like inside of me that most of the time knew it wasn't right, but I wasn't capable not to do these things. And it was all out of fear that I wouldn't get what I thought I wanted or needed, or I would lose something that I already had in one way or another. And I couldn't see any of this until I sat down with my fifth step. You know, I was so delusional. I was so caught up in me that I couldn't see it from an outside perspective. But after I did my fifth step, I was told to go home and sit for an hour with my sixth step. And thank God for those instructions in the book, because if I was told to just go home and sit with it and pray with it, you know, after 5 minutes, I would have been convinced that that was good enough. And the clear instruction to sit for an hour and to look at this list that she wrote out for me, that was really how I was self-seeking. I wanted everyone to act the way I thought they should act. You know, I had expectations of everyone. And I tried to control those things so hard. Like, I put all my energy into controlling other people. And when I failed, I suffered tremendously. So when I put down the drink and I was still living in these character defects, I was still miserable. And I didn't know how to change any of them, you know. But once I saw them from my sponsor's point of view, and I sat with God and really took them in, it was like a whole new experience where I didn't want to be these things. You know, like, when I looked at them, I kind of felt like, all right, this isn't really sober behavior. If I want to say I'm sober and I want to be happy, these things are not going to work in the same lifestyle. And, you know, I was told I needed to want to have them removed by God. And looking back now, at the time I said yes, and maybe I thought yes, but I held on to a bunch of them. And I held on to a bunch of them in my relationship out of fear. And I suffered just as much as if I was out there using by holding on to these things and acting out upon them. You know, it wasn't so much I wanted to drink, but I had that feeling in the pit of my stomach where I didn't know what to do with myself. That feeling of like, I feel like I'm going to die right now, and I didn't know where to move. I couldn't call anyone. I was unable to pick up the phone and call someone. And at the beginning, when I was in 1, 2, and 3, like, it was not the urge to use like it was in the beginning, but it was an urge to get out of myself and not feel this. Like, I couldn't stand feeling this way. And my sponsor would just say, pray, over and over again, pray, pray, pray. And in my experience, nothing else had worked. You know, I tried calling people. I tried going to meetings. I tried to keep myself busy. And when I wanted to use and that desire was great enough, I went out and did it. And I had never really tried to pray. So when she told me this, I would do it. And I'd be like, okay, but it's back, like 2 minutes later. Like, I would leave her house, be on the way home, feeling great. And then all of a sudden, it was a thought. So I just continued to pray as much as possible. And she would say they would get less and less intense, and they would space out a little bit at a time. And it's not what I wanted to hear, but it actually started to happen. You know, I wanted that instant, like, take this away from me feeling. And slowly but surely, the urge to use started to leave. So once I was at step 6, you know, when I was doing all these controlling things and putting people down and trying to manipulate situations still, because I needed him to act how I wanted him to act, and I was failing, and I was suffering, you know? I was trying to make him suffer, and I was really hurting. I started to finally pray for these things to be removed because I realized I couldn't live my life with these defects of character. They were leading my life for me, basically. You know, I wasn't happy. I wasn't useful to anyone. I wasn't having a connection with God at these times. You know, that was the last thing. That was a thought in my mind when all my energy was going into trying to control these people. And I truly believe that those things that I didn't let go of in my sixth step when I sat down right away are the things that I grew most from, the things that I got to see. I got to see how much it really affected my life, how much it wasn't just the drink and the drugs that were killing me, you know, how much it was me and my mind. And something that really helped me in the beginning was the fact that I understood that I could put it down and the physical obsession wasn't there, but why would I keep picking it up again, over and over again, no matter how much I didn't want to? And once the mental obsession was explained to me that I don't have a choice, I'm going to pick that drink up again, no matter what. If I don't have a spiritual experience and rely upon a higher power. But it just made so much sense because I didn't want to pick up so many times, and I had consequences not to pick up, and I had places to be where I couldn't make it because I did pick up, and things were good and I picked up. And, you know, God took that from me, and looking back on that, I totally believed he could take my character defects from me. If he's powerful enough to take the desire to drink away, he could take the desire of lying and manipulating away if I ask, and if I mean it when I do ask him to do it. You know, I don't think God makes too hard of terms for those who seek him. And as long as I'm meaning what I say in my prayers, and it's not... and it's useful to other people for me to lose it, I believe he takes it. So with step six, I just pray on those things every day. I don't have to wake up today and, you know, pray for God to help me stop obsessing over alcohol. I have to pray for him to help me not be resentful and selfish and dishonest and afraid. And it's a lot of a lighter load than trying to fight off the alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And the desire to want to pick up that drink again, you know. If that's all I have to do today, along with the rest of the steps, but, you know, to compare that to where I was at when I first came in, I never ever thought it was possible. I never thought I'd be looking at myself and asking for help to help other people in any way I can, rather than please, please let me hold on for today and not want to drink and kill myself. I don't know. I think I'm just going to stop there. Thank you.